Thank you, Nash. That's very true. We do have such an awesome God. So, I'd like you to all stand real quick as we go to the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today and to come together in fellowship and learn about you. We thank you for what you've given us and just the opportunities that we have here in this country and just the opportunity we have to go out and tell you and show you everywhere we go, work, school, wherever that be, that we have the opportunity to go show others you. And we pray that we can go use our time and that we can use our lives to show you to others and that we'd be able to do that to the fullest extent that we can. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So we're going to be in James 4:14 today. You know, it was funny. I started, the last two Sundays, Jordan, he would come up to me and he'd be like, so what do you have? What do you have for your lesson? And the last two Sundays, I had to tell him I haven't even looked at it yet. I hadn't started it. And so on Monday in my sixth period, obviously at school, because that's where you usually do this. Because why would you do schoolwork, right? So on Monday, I started it, did it again in my sixth period, obviously on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I did it in my first and sixth periods. So I had to get my work in there. And so I had a good lesson. On Friday, I decided, we're going to go a different route. So I decided I'm not going to do that, but I didn't decide what I was going to do. So at about last night, at about roughly 1:30, I decided that would be a good time to start. So I started it, got done around 3:30. Last night, so the girls had their regional championship game. I got home from that, kind of just, wait around. I'm not known for my time management skills. That's very reflective in my grades. My parents will tell you that. But so I started it, and before I got in the shower, I got in the shower about 1 o'clock. But I posted something on my Instagram stories about Cameron Boozer. Obviously, I think he's great. He's the best player in the country. And so I posted something about he's the National Player of the Year. I get out of the shower at about 1:30. I look at my story real quick just because I'm curious who's up, who viewed it. So, who's up at 1:30 in the morning? And I saw my mom had viewed it. So I saw she's up. She obviously knew that I was up. So that was good. And, I haven't went through this at all, actually. I was pretty tired, believe it or not. So, and one of the things Jordan told me, he goes, it's very important because I told him I hadn't been over it. And he goes, make sure you go over the whole thing. Make sure you run through it. And so that you can, go through it in the mirror or something. Didn't listen to him, obviously, which is always good. But yeah, so we're going to be in James 4:14 here. So I'm just going to read it. Let's see here. So James 4:14. So it reads, "Whereas ye do not know what shall be the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanish away." So basically what this is saying is we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's very humbling, right? We don't have any control what's going to happen. And so, we plan for tomorrow. We schedule what's going to happen. We assume that we're going to get another day. We assume that we're going to get another chance to do whatever we want to do, right? But and we have zero control over that. And that so that's a very humbling thing, right? That we don't have any control. And that's something that it's very important that we understand. We act like tomorrow belongs to us, but in reality, it belongs to God. And so, you really don't. You really don't know what call you're going to get or what opportunity is going to show up. You don't know what challenge is going to come before you. It's the simple fact that we need to understand that we don't always know. We think we know everything, And the simple fact is that we really don't. We have no idea what's going to happen. And every single day, you don't know what's going to happen an hour from now, a minute from now, a second from now. When we just assume what's going to happen, we live so confidently in something that we can't control, right? And so we're going to look at a little bit of the context here of James 4:14 by looking at James 4:13, where it says, "Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain," which is profit, is what they think they're going to get. So what they're saying is, these are a bunch of businessmen, and they say that tomorrow we're going to go into the city, we're going to sell, we're going to buy, we're going to make profit. And James is saying in the next verse, like, hold on, you don't know tomorrow, right? So the problem isn't planning, right? It's not, the problem isn't thinking, we could do this tomorrow. The problem isn't planning. The problem is assuming that you're going to get another day. And that's very dangerous, actually, assuming, just thinking like, oh, I have another day. I have another day to think about it. This isn't something that I need to put a whole lot of weight on right now. But you never know. So that's why the very important things in life, when it comes to being saved or when it comes to God, that should be at the very forefront, because you never know. And so if you put other things first, you might get those things done. But in the end, what actually matters in life? Is it sports? Is it school? Is it those things? Or is it eternity? And I think that answer, I think if you think about it for a second, it should be pretty clear. So there's nothing wrong with actually planning your life. There's nothing wrong with planning your future. There's something with assuming, and there's something wrong with thinking that we're God in these circumstances. So, because these businessmen in verse 13, they had the timeline, they had a destination, they had a business plan, they had a financial goal. Sounds very responsible, but James corrects them, because planning without acknowledgement of God is pride, right? That's the issue. And so it's something that, we have to think a lot of. And so we have to really take a deep dive into what the exact issue is. It wasn't their business, but it was control. So they thought as if tomorrow success was all guaranteed. But you aren't guaranteed anything. You're not owed anything. We don't deserve anything. And so, we often think, oh, that's not very fair. We didn't deserve this. But you did, actually, because we don't deserve anything, right? We actually deserve one thing, and that's death. Because when you sin, the wages of sin are death. And so when you sin, you deserve that. And so we don't deserve anything better than that. But by the gift of God, we're gifted eternal life. And all we have to do is select that and bring Christ into our own lives to get that. And so now we're going to look at verse 15. So in verse 15, it says, "For thee ye ought to say, of the Lord will we shall live, and do this or that." So it's not just if the Lord wills that we will succeed. It's if the Lord wills that we will live. So that should be humbling for us, because it's not just, oh, if I pray enough, if I do enough, I might get this, I might get that. We need to go back to another level here and realize that we're only living because of Him. It's not that, oh, we only get the success because of Him. I'll get this house because of Him, or I didn't get this or that. It's, you get your life because of Him. You aren't guaranteed life. That's not something that you get because you earned. And so it's something that we have to realize, that every single day that we are given life, every single day that we are gifted that we don't deserve, we have to use it. because that's the only reason we were given it in the first place, is for him. And that's something that we have to understand. And he finishes by saying, basically, that now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And so that's what he says in 16. Boasting in what, right? You're boasting in control. You think you control everything, right? You don't control anything. Like I said earlier, it's very important that we understand that you control nothing. And living as if your future success, your time is yours, is very, very, very dangerous. Because when you live as if you control the time, you're going to use the time how you want. And for a lot of us, you don't want to use time how you should. And I, obviously, this is in my life. This is in all of our lives. We want to use time in a way that is entertaining or pleasant or easy, right? You know, we want to go out and we want to have fun. We want to go out and be entertained. And that's fine, but that's all we want to do. We don't really want to, you know, go home and, you know, take a second and read our Bible a lot of the time because, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, you might think of it as boring. You might think of it as kind of pointless, like, oh, I'm already going to heaven. That's all, that's very, very dangerous because, you know, when there is someone who, you know, is at a point in their life where they need help, it's very important that we understand what to say, understand what to do, because that's where you're at a crossroads where you could very well bring someone to Christ there. You need to know what you need to say. That's what it comes down to is time management, is that you need to know, you need to be able to use your time to know God better so that when someone else needs it, you know it and you can tell them about it. And because you're going to have times in your life where someone's going to come up to you and be like, hey, I need your help here. Like, if you show God, the people that, you know, when they get to a point in their life where they're having trouble, they're going to come to you. You might not be popular or anything, and they might not like you, but they're going to realize, okay, they've got something else here. So they're going to come to you. It's very important that you know what to say, know the right thing. And that's where it comes to this. Like, you need to be able to put time aside to do this, right? And because the whole mindset of thinking that you control everything completely takes God out of the picture. It essentially makes yourself your own God. And so many of us do that so often, and we don't do it on purpose, obviously. We just do it. We just assume things. But the only thing in life that you're responsible for is obedience to God. You know, that, you know, we put so much, you know, we want to have so much of an emphasis on everything. We want to be responsible for this or that. Sometimes we don't, but we make ourselves responsible for things that we shouldn't. Sometimes we just need to take a second and breathe, and we need to pray about it. Like, sometimes you got to take a second and realize, right now, I just need to be obedient to God. What does God say here? And let things fall into place. Because while you are responsible for obedience, God controls the outcome. We need to be obedient and let God control the outcome. That's very important. So then we need to look at what our life is for. James doesn't say anywhere in here, does he ask, how long is your life? He says, what is your life? Right? Like, this is about the identity. Your identity here. And so whatever you think your life is about, that's what you're going to chase. If it's about comfort, then you're going to chase ease. If it's about approval, you'll chase people. And if it's about God, you'll choose obedience and you'll chase that. So often we chase comfort, right? Every single day, you know, we go out and it's like, I don't want to do that. That's difficult. I'm going to stay away from that. I'm going to do something easier. Or, you know, it's like, I don't want to do that because of people, you know, like, I don't know. So then you're just chasing the approval of others. In the end, what matters, right? And that's your obedience to God. But before you decide how to live, you need to decide what your life is. So, and then we're going to look at, back at verse 14, where he compares your life to a vapor. So, you know, you think about on a cold day when you breathe outside and you see that vapor, you see it for, you know, a second or two and then it's gone. It's very brief, right? And so, the vapor is real, but it's very temporary. It doesn't stay there very long. That's very like our lives, because he doesn't say that your life is meaningless. He says that it's momentary, right? It's not here very long. You don't have very many, you don't get unlimited opportunities. You don't get unlimited time. You don't get unlimited people. You don't get to talk to everyone all the time. It's, sometimes you'll see someone one time. Sometimes there'll be only one time that you have the opportunity to talk to somebody. And what do you want it to be about? What do you want? What do you want the last thing? What do you want the last thing they have an impact on someone to be? Right? Do you want it to be, you know, you cussing them out? Do you want it to be, it's like, I think basketball, right? I think of refs. You know, a lot of refs, you see them, especially at away games, you see them one time, right? And so what, you know, what do you want that to be? What do you want that one time you see them to be? Like, do you want to cuss them out? You know, you get attacked, you get thrown out of the game or something? Or do you just want it to be, like, respectful? Do you just want, you know? And so it's really simple, and that's something that, you know, that doesn't always mean that you have to necessarily spread Christ. Of course, that'd be great. Sometimes just a matter of being nice, being showing God in what we do, right? And the shortness of life is not to depress you, right? It's not something to be depressed about that your life ends. It should direct you. It should tell you, like, I don't have unlimited time. I need to go in this direction, right? Because you don't have as much time as you think you do. So, you know, life, it appears for a little and then it goes away. You know, every generation thinks it's permanent, right? But every single generation has thought that past. So, you know, in 100 years, none of us will be here. So that should give you a little bit of a perspective of, you know, all these things that we do. You know, none of it matters when it comes down to the core of it. That doesn't mean to not try in it. That doesn't mean to not care. But it means that you should care the most, and you should put your energy, your time into the things that matter most. And that's Christ. You know, we've got to put so much more of an emphasis. It's so easy these days. You know, there's so many things. You've got sports, you've got school, you've got just stuff all the time. It's so easy to get away and to lose that perspective, or even to kind of get a different perspective. You know, instead of thinking, oh, we have this much time, we need to be thinking about Christ, it's, oh, I only have this much time, so I need to, you know, go to this many camps or this many, or I need to do this decision now, I need to do all this. So we think of it in a very earthly, a very shallow perspective instead of eternal. We forget what's happening at the end. We just think, oh, it's going to end. Got to do all this fun stuff now instead of thinking what we're actually here for. And so you get no rewinds. Like, you don't get another opportunity. So, like, that should carry some weight, right? So we really need to remember that, because life is short. So sin, you know, pride, hate, or living just like half committed to God is not worth it. And so many of us, you know, we sit on the fence. We sit there and it's like, oh, I'll do a little bit of that, a little bit of both, just like kind of keep in tap with God a little bit, just enough to like know that I'm a good person, you know. I'm going to heaven, you know, so I'll keep a little bit in tap just so I feel good. But for the most part, I'll just go out and I'll just party and I'll just do this, or, you know, all that. It's so easy to do that. We do that so often, but that really isn't worth it at all, because life is a vapor. So you're wasting all that time chasing something that doesn't have any weight eternally, right? And so, or maybe, you know, you waste that opportunity that you could have told someone else, told one of your friends, told one of your colleagues something that really could change their life and change the them eternally, right? And so we need to live surrendered. We need to live obedient. And most importantly, we need to live ready. We need to be ready for to go first. And then secondly, we need to be ready for bad things to happen, because bad things are going to happen. Like, adversity is going to happen. You're going to have to fight through adversity. You're gonna have rough times in life. And so often, I don't know why, but I think we almost feel like we're not going to have to go through hard times, and then they strike and it's a surprise. I think that we need to understand that bad things are going to happen. We need to have a understanding that you're going to have to go through things, and you need to be ready to have to lean on God. You should be leaning on God at all times, but especially in those hard times, we need to make sure that we, instead of being like, why did God do this? We need to think of it as, this is a good thing. I always try to think, and I've tried to do a lot better job of this, is trying to think of the good in situations, right? You know, when really bad things happen, or when people die or something, obviously the first thing that goes through everybody, and rightfully so, is how terrible those things are. But we need to think of the good things. You know, when something like that happens, it could really do a great job of giving other people a good perspective, right? The perspective. So many people, especially in my generation, young people, think they have so much time. They think that they can go out and do whatever, and they're going to live until they're 60, and then they'll think about it. But when things happen, it gives you a perspective. You don't have all this time, and that's why sometimes it takes, you know, I really hope that my generation wake up and realize that sometimes you don't have forever. Sometimes it's something you need to put emphasis on now. You know, we don't put, my generation does not put emphasis on anything now. Any generation doesn't really do a good job of it, but I want to put emphasis on my generation here, that, you know, we think we have so much time. And just like anyone who's young ever thinks they have forever, but I know I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to me in the next day, year, few years. Like, I have no idea. So you have to start putting an emphasis on stuff now. These problems, you know, they're for the good. You know, if you never have to live through anything, if you always have, if you always just live through easy and comfort, and you never have to go through any adversity, then you're going to probably live a very shallow life, right? You're going to live shallow in your faith, because you never had to do anything else, right? So that's why we have to expect that. And that's why when you have good times, when you're in a good time in life, that doesn't mean you get to let off the gas pedal, right? It doesn't mean that you get to take a step back and be like, okay, I'm having a good time, I can go out and do, you know, whatever right now, I feel good. No, that's when you have to lean on him more, because you have to be ready for when something happens. You have to have that knowledge, have the wisdom to know what to do when those things happen. That's a great time to get better in Christ, to learn more. And but the main thing, and if there's one thing you come away with today, it's that you need to understand the importance of time. Now, it's not guaranteed. You know, you can't control the length of your life, but the only thing you can control is the direction of your life and the substance of your life, what the makeup of your life is, what you do with it, who you tell, who you show your life to, and who you can show God to, most importantly, and because your life's going to disappear, and it's just a matter of if you showed others God, right? If you went out every single day to school or to work, what kind of person were you? Who did you tell? Who did you use your opportunities to the fullest extent that you can? Because that's what we're commanded to do, right? Is we're commanded to go out and we're commanded to tell others. And so if you don't do that, if we don't go out and we don't listen to God, if we're not obedient, then what were we here for, right? What did we use our life for? Because that's the only thing we're commanded to do. None of the other stuff matters, you know, like no one's going to remember, you know, if you had a good game, no one's going to remember your grades. And I think we have a good perspective when something happens, like when something happens to somebody, like, what do you remember about them? Do you remember their grades? Do you remember a game they had. Do you remember anything? The main thing you're going to remember is their character. You're going to remember the kind of person they were. So that's what we have to remember. Like, what kind of person do we want to be remembered as? Do we want to be remembered as a jerk? Do we want to remember as someone who is a terrible person or someone who is a light? And that's something that's going to be really important that, that we have to be thinking about when we go out and we do things, is what does this perpetrate me as? Like, does this perpetrate me as a bad person? Does it perpetrate? And it might not be a terrible thing, but it might not be a good thing. Maybe it's something that maybe we could be using that time better, right? And so that's something that we need to work on. But so just it's really important that we remember that we don't have unlimited time, that we have to use our time to the full extent, the way that God would like us to and intend to. Obviously, we're not going to be perfect, but we have to try the best that we can, right? And it's not like you're going to make mistakes. You're going to slip up. You're going to have problems, but we can't let us get down themselves. That's when you have to lean on God more. That's when you have to pray. That's when you have to strive for more wisdom and knowledge. And that comes through the word, right? That comes through reading. And it's something that we all need to do a lot more of. We need to look in the word more because that is the one thing that never changes, right? God and the word. Those are the two things that are never going to change. Everything else is going to go away. And those are the only things that, we get to lean on. And so we need to lean on those while we can. So that's what I got.